It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The preacher and the teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things Sox, Pats, B's and C's right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
It's hour number two. Very special edition of the Mustard and Johnson show. We haven't been on FM very much over the last several months, doing our show now, going back to our roots over on AM 850 every Saturday from 9 to 12. Last couple weeks, we've had some time on the FM, enjoyed it. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number, and obviously, enjoyment wouldn't be the experience you'd probably have reading Bob Holler's piece in today's Boston Globe. Not that it's shocking, because we've certainly heard it from the parent side of it. Parents can be absolutely crazy and gonzo nuts when it comes to their kids playing hockey or AAU basketball, elite softball, you name it. Parents for the last couple generations, really for the last 40 or so years, have been out of control at times. Maybe not the rule, but certainly enough times where we have discussed this on the radio. It's been a long time though, Larry, since we've had really one of these stories, and it is eye-opening.
It doesn't mean they're not going on all the time. We just don't pay that much attention to them.
Right, and when it's on the front page of the Boston Globe, now I don't have the physical copy. I only read it online, so I'm not sure if this is a front page story on the front page or the front page of the sports page, but it certainly gives us pause and reminds us that sometimes youth sports programs can get a little out of whack, that we have this very distorted view of what we think of as success. And I'm not sure that I could rationalize a spot at Harvard, a scholarship at Northeastern, playing big-time Division I hockey, and then say, well, it was all worth it. It was worth getting sworn at by a coach calling me a whiny little bitch, or I would want to punch you in the face, or the constant abuse where you're feeling morally, psychologically, spiritually degraded from practice to game. Is that all worth it? What the price you have to pay for that? I wouldn't do it, that's for sure.
One thing that's very prevalent, however, in the story continuously is that the coaches say, well, people know what they were getting in for. Like, they know what type of program this is. You know why you're putting your child in here. And I think the child knows, too. I think if you're any kind of a parent, you'd sit down with your kid and say, look, you want to be great? You want to get scholarships? You want to get the best of your ability? Here's a program over here that you can get involved in. They're very abusive in the type of things that they do. But if you want to become great, this is a program we can get involved in. I mean, these programs range from $1,800 to $2,700. You're not going to pay out that kind of money without knowing what you're paying it out for.
Yeah, the weird thing about it, the irony is that these are all elite players. They're going to be good no matter what program they're playing in.
Might expedite it.
Okay, but several of the players, as a matter of fact, I'm reading this article, they're all college hockey prospects. These girls are playing for Assabet Valley. Nine have already verbally committed to play for Division I programs, so they've already got their spots. They're probably,
but maybe that's the reason they got their spots.
No, they're joining the team after they've been
What if they want to sharpen their skills?
Okay. Well, again, it may be a combination. It may be those scholarships were extended after maybe a year or two at Assabet Valley. Maybe they had the scholarship already based. Because remember, they're all playing prep school hockey on top of playing for this elite hockey program through Mass Hockey. But it is a total and utter commitment to a level I just don't understand.
And it's not just girls. Right. I guarantee you there are some boys programs out there that are operating the same way.
No, absolutely. And I think maybe I'm...
But what if you know... What I'm saying is, what if you know what the methodology used is and you still want to put your kid in there?
Right. And we talked the very first caller we picked up the phone with.
Yeah, he was great.
He gave a very convincing explanation.
I
couldn't do it, and I would have to respectfully disagree with his decision. And now let's also caution
you're just a wimp. You're overprotective
I am.
Of your
hey,
kids.
Hey, listen. I get upset. And my kids were just average athletes. I'm just happy when they get playing time. I would never criticize a coach. I wouldn't berate a referee. I wouldn't go after another parent because that parent's kid had
somebody
more playing
told
time.
You at Patriots training camp to shut up and sit down, and you did.
Not quite, but that was a different, that was a different story.
What did you do?
I moved to another area.
So, oh, okay. Well,
right. Okay. I didn't, the last thing I wanted was
to be rolling around in the mud.
Right. But my point being, that I could not imagine myself in this scenario at any level at all.
Did you fight back when that woman punched you in the eye?
Why are we even talking about
because
this?
Because I want to bring you out in the open. I want the light to shine on you.
So what you're saying is that if
you're a wimp,
if you're a tough parent,
yes,
then you would be justified in putting your daughter into a program,
yes,
like this, okay? But wimpy parents like me,
yeah,
are always trying to protect their kids and themselves, don't have the emotional and physical makeup
fortitude to put
do
your
it.
Kid
don't
in
have
there.
The testicular fortitude,
yes,
to deal with it.
You're right.
Very good.
Is that true?
You got it right. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number, and we go to Bill in East Hampton is next on Sports Radio.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
So I feel like there's a bigger picture that you're kind of missing with this whole thing.
Okay.
My son plays college football out in Boston right now, and his high school coach was he was on another level. I mean, one of the kids actually went after him, and the other kids had to hold him back because the coach was just berating him for, like, the entire year.
Wow.
And, I mean, the coach would do this to a lot of the players. And my son could, like, brush it off, and, he's a quiet kid.
Did he do it to your son?
Yes, quite a bit.
And how did you deal with it?
He would tell me a little bit. I mean, it's high school, so these kids kind of keep a lot to themselves, you know what I mean? They share, but they don't.
Yes.
It's just that age. And, but he never got to the point where he said it was out of hand for him, but he kind of brought it up now that he's playing college. And, you got to remember, these coaches hold some of these kids' dreams in the palm of their hand. They really do.
They do.
It's high school. They can't just jump from team to team like peewees. You're kind of stuck where you're stuck unless you plan on moving. But these, like, there was that same kid, really good kid, all state player. He ended up playing Division III. He should have played D1 or D2. But the coach, with some of the kids that were all-state, wouldn't answer phone calls from these colleges, wouldn't respond, so the colleges kind of gave up on some of the kids.
Mm.
So, I mean, you're talking financially, these kids' dreams could be going down because they can't go to the school without the scholarship.
Well, here's my question,
Bill. Is this guy still coaching?
Yes.
Mm. But here's my question. Why can't you instill an environment that's positive? It's about positive reinforcement.
He's in a high school.
I completely agree with you guys. Completely agree with you. Just because football, they say, is a tough sport doesn't mean you have to trash your players.
Absolutely not. And I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand.
They hold these kids. My son had dreams of going to one school, and he didn't get to go to that school because of this individual coach.
Well,
is there anything?
He ended up going to a great school out in Boston,
yeah,
because he went to a lot of these open sessions with, like, some of these sports programs, and he got noticed through that.
Was there anything you could have done about it?
like I said, like, my son didn't really open up about it until after he was gone.
Oh.
You know what I mean? They're high school kids. They don't share a whole lot.
All right. Well,
they share some, but, I mean, it's hard getting stuff out of boys in high school. They just... Right.
But Bill,
But
Bill, thanks for the call. I would doubt, and certainly I'm not there firsthand, but I'm just speculating on this. I can't imagine that that high school coach out in Western Mass would engage in the kind of things that we're reading about in this article. That's the only difference. This takes it to a level that I've certainly read. I mean, for all the things we've read about Bobby Knight, chair throwing, ringing people by the neck, the verbal abuse. Yeah, you're laughing. You think it's funny.
Well, I'm sitting in here.
Right. I don't know why you're making such a joke of this. This is a serious subject.
It's over. How many people are throwing chairs now?
No, I'm saying, but I thought that era ended. I thought, because to me, Bobby Knight is the poster boy for coaching abuse. And he represents all the sport.
Didn't he choke a player?
I just said that.
Yeah.
Are you paying attention?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, he... choked a player. He's, you know, thrown
chairs.
He's screamed and yelled and bullied players forever. And it was
Is he seen in such high esteem?
Because he won some championships.
If
he were not successful, he would not get away with it.
But then you answered your own question.
Right. But I just wonder what, I mean, I guess I'm being very metaphysical and very philosophical here. I don't call this success. I don't call success having to endure this kind of abuse just so I can get a scholarship at a college. To me, that there's got to be other ways to do it. There got to be ways, Larry, that you can coach.
Well, you heard the guy that just called. He said his kid was in a high school program, and if the coach ignores you or doesn't push you along, scholastically or otherwise, then there's nothing you can do about it.
But my point is, why can't you carry yourself as a coach with dignity, with respect for your players, respect for the parents, create an atmosphere of positive reinforcement and validation.
You want to get respect, you win.
See, I think it goes beyond that in this day and age.
Are you kidding? Are you crazy?
I'm getting a sense that you almost, you're almost condoning this stuff.
I'm being realistic.
Okay, so this is a realistic version of a coach?
You want to win. I'm not saying they're all like that, but I'm saying, if you want to win, then people are lined up with their check in hand to get into your program.
See, my belief is, and again, I've never seen any of these girls play. They're all very talented. This is the elite of the elite. They couldn't play for another program and accomplish the same goals.
This guy pushes different buttons.
He sure does. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We go to Peter in Jamaica Plain, who's next on Sports
Peter.
Radio. Hey, Peter.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Glad to have you back on the FM.
Thank you.
Well, don't forget us on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock on 8:50 a.m.
You know what? I'm so used to the FM that sometimes I forget.
I know.
But when I remember, I definitely turn it to 8:50.
Thank you.
But I have a serious question, okay?
Yep.
Are the Patriots so popular, okay, that they dominate talk radio at way after the season? I mean, it's just... You know, 4 hours.
They become everything, and
I just want to mention, because I'm a Celtics fan, right? And I've never seen a 21-year-old like Jason Tatum. You know, I go way back. You know, I know Craig's a big fan of Larry Bird, but I go way back. I've never seen a 21-year-old like Jason Tatum in my lifetime. We're looking at a budding superstar, and no one talks about the Celtics. Is it just that the Patriots are so popular, or there's not enough Celtics fans? I don't get it.
Well, winning 6 Super Bowls will do that for you.
Well, and again, it goes back to flow sports versus stoppage sports. There's not a lot to second guess, analyze in a regular season. I'm sure as the Celtics move on in the playoffs, if they get into the second or certainly the conference title championship round, that will get plenty of discussion about the Celtics.
I got a question for you, Craig, because I know you're like the biggest Larry Bird fan in the world, and you go back. I don't think you like today's game as much for the three-pointers, but have you ever seen a better 21-year-old than Jason Tatum?
No, I was having this discussion with my 14-year-old just yesterday, and we were talking about that game. We both stayed up to watch it on Thursday night, and I had to remind myself, oh, that's right, he's only 21 years old. He came up and he's 18, 19 years old, 21. Larry Bird was 23 when he joined the Celtics back in 1979. So he was an older player who played 4 years and had the fifth year at Indiana. So by the time he entered the NBA, he was a mature, very well-developed player. And here's Jason Tatum at 21 doing the kind of things he's doing now, and he's completely liberated. Here's the big thing, of course. He's liberated.
And Jaylen Brown isn't all that far behind. So
no.
I'm really excited about the Celtics. I know the talk will pick up later, but it's just this Tom Brady talk is –
But you know what it is?
I can't listen to the radio.
But we're not driving it. I know, but Peter, we're not driving it. We are just reflecting people who are obsessed with the most successful franchise probably in the history of Boston sports. Now, you could say the Celtics were because they won the 11 championships in 13 years, but the obsession for the Celtics, as you well know, Larry, you could walk into any Celtic game, no matter if it was a championship game or a regular season game, there were always plenty of good seats available. People did not necessarily support the Celtics the way we support our teams now, despite all their championships.
Well, this, again, people trend, particularly in talk radio, negative conversation tends to draw people to dial the phone and get on the air and give their opinion. And as you know, last year, the Celtics gathered quite a bit of attention, but that's because people didn't like the way they were playing, Kyrie, et cetera, and so on.
But that conversation didn't begin until they lost four straight games to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And then Kyrie was greasing the skids for his exit.
Yeah, people didn't like him. No, right. This particular story, see, a lot of people can identify with it because most of us have children. And
you're talking about the hockey story.
The hockey story that was in the Globe today. And I'm very curious to hear from people and some people who can justify putting their kids in programs like this. I'd love to hear from you. I'm not going to criticize you. I just want to know your thinking and how it has worked out for you so far to put your kids in a program like this.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Mustard and Johnson taking your calls until 4 o'clock right here on Sports Radio.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
Welcome back to Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio WEEI, 93.7 FM, doing our FM thing, little cameo appearance for MNJ. We'll be back in our customary slot over on the AM side next Saturday at 9 o'clock, and we have been kind of hashing out this story that Bob Holder wrote in this morning's Boston Globe. I think he actually posted it yesterday afternoon. Holder, as you remember, Larry, wrote that extensive piece.
Chicken and beer
in 2011 after the horrible September. The Red Sox went, 7-20, lost on the final out or the final play of the 2011 regular season. And all kinds of fingers pointed, and Bob Holder chronicled that with tremendous skill. And that was a discussion that we had for many, many, many months afterwards, because we thought that Red Sox team was sure to go to the postseason. They fell apart completely. Francona was fired right after that. Theo left, headed to Chicago not long after. Not a lot of answers coming out of Fenway, and Holler chronicled that with tremendous journalistic prowess. And certainly this piece today, while maybe not as monumental as that, certainly brings out and reminds us that sometimes we can distort our emphasis on particular sports and what success is in sports and what we expect out of coaches and what we expect out of our kids. Very interesting piece called Iced Out, Elite Youth Hockey Coaches at Assabet Valley Suspended After Abuse Complaints. That happened in November. The team did go on to win the Mass Hockey title. This is a non-prep school. It's not a high school. It's one of those elite programs. If you're used to basketball, and think of it in terms of a AAU program for hockey, and these are all girls who are headed for maybe not stardom, but certainly they have berths at hockey programs in Division I schools in the area and beyond. So we're talking about that with you.
Apparently Lang made that Hitler gesture and then was informed of one of his players in a religious faith, and he said, I don't care.
Yeah.
And that's just an attitude that he had. Now, he's probably apologetic about some of this stuff now, but I want to hear from parents. I want to know how people, obviously somebody's supporting the program.
My problem with that is, even if he didn't know one of the players on the team was Jewish and might be offended, why would you think in this day and age
of
using a Nazi salute as a way to motivate a hockey player or discipline or reprimand? It is beyond me. Let's see if we can make some sense out of this with you at 617-779-7937. Mike and Randolph, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Happy Sunday. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Good. So, I want to go, first off, I'm a father. I have a 9-year-old son, and I just want to lead off with that. But I had a football coach that was both physically abusive and verbally abusive at all times, and I was fine with it. And I think that a majority, if not most of my teammates, were fine with it as well. It taught us discipline. I believe that it got me, a lot of the things that I learned got me to where I am today. And I'm not going to mention any names, but that happened, and we've talked about it, and, with some of my teammates and friends, and we wouldn't have it any other way, honestly. We really wouldn't, because in this day and age where everybody gets a trophy, we're just against it.
Well, I don't like that either, but what do you mean physically?
I can tell you this. My coach gave me a concussion one time because I wasn't patient enough on a screen setting up my blockers.
So what do you mean? What do you mean he gave you a concussion? What did he do?
He hit me over the head so many times repetitively that I had a concussion.
All right, so you were running back, and you didn't patiently wait for your offensive line to set up the screen, and you went to the sideline in the game, and he bammed you over the head a couple of times?
In front of everybody. Now, again, it's almost like we had a culture where it was what it was. And you know what? I learned from it, and I realized that I had to be better. Now,
with all due respect, how are you learning by sustaining a concussion because you didn't execute a screenplay to the liking of the coach? That makes absolutely no sense. How are you possibly benefiting from that?
Craig, you have to understand, first off, concussions are different now than they used to be. Back then, it was just, you rang your bell and you didn't think twice about it. But what I'm saying is this coach, maybe he went over the line at times. I understand that. But it taught us discipline as we got older. Again, I had no problem with it. I really didn't. I remember we had a kid in our league where he got a coach fired for calling him a chicken, and we were like, that's just so soft to us.
Well, we all agree there are extremes to everything. There has to be a happy medium. What if this had resulted in permanent brain damage?
I mean, what if there's so many what ifs in the world, Larry? Like, there's many different things.
That's not, this isn't that far-fetched, though, if you're telling me he gave you a couple of concussions.
Well, no, it was one. It was that one time. But again, listen, did sometimes you go over the top? Yeah, of course. Like, from the story I just told you, yeah. But you know what? Like, I saw a lot of things that I thought were way worse of how he treated other players. But I guess in our culture, we thought it made us better, and we thought it made us tougher, mentally tougher.
Not physically,
but mentally tougher.
Is he still coaching?
He is not. He got removed. He got removed.
And Mike, let me ask you this.
Mike,
what happened? Did somebody finally blow the whistle? Or what were the events that led to his ouster?
So I was out of college by that point. From what I heard, it was something along those lines. It's from what I heard, there was just enough of a track record, enough of a case to build up for the administration to remove him. But again, I still to this day, like, you know, I respect the guy, and I haven't seen him in years. If I saw him, I mean, again, like, I knew him since I was in junior high, and we knew, you know, again, I hate to say we knew we were getting ourselves into, but you know, when you see a track record of success of people above you and you want to be that, you know some of the sacrifices you're going to have to take, and you know, the culture you're entering yourself into. Now, a lot of us had opportunities. We could have gone to other schools. Of course we could have gone to other schools. I mean, you look at a lot of prep schools and Catholic schools that were actively recruiting. We knew that. That happened. But we chose to go into a program where there was, you know, year after year success, and we wanted to be good. And honestly, I don't regret it at all. I believe that he taught me the core principles and values. Yes, did he go over the line? Yes. Everyone, a lot of people have fathers and, you know, parents have gone over the line as well. But I just believe that he, you know, instilled the core values of success. A lot of us came from broken homes as well. So this was a father figure as well. And you could say he went over the line, but I got to tell you, you know, anytime that a big play needed to happen, anytime that everyone had to be on the same page, we were mentally just so drilled that we had to do our jobs that we got it done. And I feel like that is also, you know, correlated into the rest of my life right now. So I'm not against it at all. Now, again, I didn't read this piece. I'm hearing, you know, some of the things you guys just said. That's just insane to me. But, yeah, I believe, like, Bobby Knight, I would have loved to play for Bobby Knight. There's no doubt in my mind. To this day, I'd have my son play for Bobby Knight. That guy made sure that he got every last bit out of you. And if you were mentally tough enough to go through it, then you were going to be the best you could possibly be, and I firmly believe that.
So if you were Jewish and you had a Jewish and your daughter was on the team and the coach is making Hitler gestures and stuff, that wouldn't bother you?
No, that's just, I mean, I don't even have words for that. Like,
right.
That to me is crazy.
All right, Mike.
But it's all right for him to give you a concussion.
All right, Mike, I appreciate it.
Mike,
you know,
good call.
And the last thing anybody needs to have is a concussion at the hands of a coach. It's bad enough having to go out there and go in the trenches and suffer all those sub-concussions that experts talk about and all the CTE issues and everything else. It's both a physically and psychologically damaging thing to happen. And thankfully, wherever that was, someone finally stepped in, and you wonder if it came from a parent. Did administration enable that for so many years? This is a little bit different because it's not affiliated. The Assabet Valley is not a high school. It's a program. And parents were the ones that could not take it any longer because their kids couldn't take it any longer. Let's get one more in before the break. It's Wayne in Albany, who's next up on Sports Radio WEEI. Hey, Wayne.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. I have some very strong feelings about coaching and mentoring young people. Just a quick summary of my background. I played competitive sports in high school and college, two sports, only at the Division III level in college. I helped to raise two sons who played competitive soccer, so I've seen some of the horrific things that you're talking about today. And for 31 years, I was a university professor, which is really where I learned about mentoring. And I can't say strongly enough, there is very little to be gained by demeaning somebody. whether you're a coach, a professor, whatever, you have to have an understanding of who the student is or the athlete is. Everyone is different. Everyone needs different things. But never, ever, ever do you demean them, especially in front of other people.
What if they end up going on because of that and become a very, very successful person as far as with athletics or other means?
Well, you know, there are people who have survived concentration camps and gone on to have successful lives. Does that mean concentration camps are good?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Well, Wayne, you and I both spent our majority of our adult life in classrooms, and I taught for many years as an English teacher at a local high school here in the Boston area. And I know that I could not conduct myself the way that some of these coaches are allowed to conduct themselves, even on a much lesser level than what we're talking about in this article with Dennis Lang. Coaches have license to use obscenities. They have license to yell. They have license to demean. Teachers can't do that, and I like to believe that we are, as mentors, we are molding adults to go out into the world and be successful. And I don't think we would ever believe that demeaning, you're absolutely right, degrading, humiliating, any of that would produce success on any level in the adult world. You're absolutely right on that.
Thank you. So why do these coaches have this license?
Because they win.
And unfortunately, and this is the larger issue, Wayne and Larry, we are a sports-obsessed society. We're talking on a sports radio station right now. There are two sports radio stations in Boston. We're obsessed with the subject. And society, American society, is obsessed with it. Think about, we're talking about college scholarships at stake. We're the only country in the world that when you're 18 and 22 years old, and if you're good at a sport, you play at a college. All the other countries, you go to a professional league. The whole system is screwed up.
I think there's a much deeper reason why these coaches have license. It's because the parents are complicit.
Absolutely, and I congratulate and commend these parents for maybe realizing, taking a step back, that it wasn't worth it. They were complicit to a point. You're absolutely right, Wayne. Great call. But eventually, even they couldn't tolerate what was happening over
there. They just had a commercial on TV, yeah. Some sports commercial, and the tagline was, "Success is a choice."
And you never liked that.
I never did.
That was a Rick Pitino book title, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why you've had a lot of problems with Pitino in some areas, but you have always criticized him because, you know what? We have very little control. I mean, we have some control over some things. But I'd like to believe that these young women at Assabet Valley, who couldn't take it anymore, would have been successful no matter what coach they had, because they had the drive, they had the determination, the commitment, they had parental support, and you don't need clowns like Dennis Lang molding young women and men. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. More of your calls coming up after this.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
It's Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio WEEI, 617-779-7937. Doing a cameo appearance over on the FM side. Check us out each and every Saturday morning on 850 AM as we're now in our 25th year, believe it or not. And here's a guy that's been with us along the way. Haven't heard from him for a while, however. It is the immortal one, Al from Everett, who's next on Sports Radio.
Jesus, guys. You know, I haven't been listening to the radio for years.
Why?
As you probably know, I'm quite old. Very old, matter of fact. I don't think you've got too many listeners like me, but please, I want to talk about something that really bothers me.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to mention names. The other day, a guy that's on television all the time made some kind of a comment. I can't remember it exactly, but he said, if I had $5 and my kid, I wouldn't go to a ball game to watch the Red Sox again because of that cheap SOB John Henry. And I'm going to myself, what the hell is wrong with this guy? Cheap SOB? John Henry happened. I don't know him. Believe me, I don't know him. One of the nicest guys I think that's ever owned a team in this town, just like Kraft.
Have you ever been on his yacht?
No, I haven't been on anything, believe me.
But you know what I would say this, Al? We criticize him, and I'm guilty as anybody else, for the fact that he goes back and forth on his philosophy as far as how much money he wants to spend, and now he's trying to get under the first tier of the luxury cap at $208 million, and he sends one of the great players in the history of the franchise off to L.A. just to cut money. We all understand that. Yet at the same time, Al, you're absolutely right.
Can I say something to you?
Let me just respond, okay?
Go ahead.
Okay, this is what I would say back to them. The culture changed completely. Al, you know as well as anybody. You said you were an elder statesman. It was 86 years before 2004. That didn't happen coincidentally. And three more championships afterwards, I give all the credit in the world to John Henry. He delivered not one championship, but four to this town.
All right, now, Craig.
Yes.
Let me say this to you.
Okay.
Am I wrong in making this statement? Now, I go way back when guys were working two jobs to make a living playing baseball. $300 million isn't enough.
No.
He wants $400 million. Are you kidding me?
That's what he wanted.
There isn't anybody on the face of the earth in sports that's worth that kind of money, and I have nothing against them. Believe me, I don't. But why in the world are they so goddamn greedy? That's all I think.
Well, I agree with you.
All right, Al. Well, and Larry.
Al, you're the man.
And get off my lawn. No, I mean, let's face it. No, and I appreciate the call from Al. That's the other Al from Everett, not the immortal Al from Everett, former postman who became a sub-magnet and not in.
Yeah. I want to know how he feels about Brady going to Dallas.
No, but it is a very, it's a kind of a difficult subject to talk about. On the one hand, we've been wrestling with this for the last several weeks about Mookie Betts. You can't criticize John Henry for what he's done since he became an owner. I mean, it has been unprecedented, the kind of success that this franchise has had. At the same time, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be spending a lot of money at Fenway Park, still the highest ticket price on average in all of Major League Baseball. They're going to be putting out a lot of money for beer and hot dogs and popcorn and parking and everything else, not to mention the tickets. And they're going to wonder why, you know, one of the four or five greatest players in the history of the uniform isn't there anymore. It's a hard subject. You can make a convincing case on each side of the equation. Steve down in New Haven, Connecticut is next on Sports Radio WEEI. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how are you?
What's up?
Listen, I'm a therapist that does works with young people down here in Connecticut. I'm a big sports, Boston sports fan. I'm originally from Worcester, but I live down here. And I wanted to just comment on the use of the word abuse and understanding a little bit about what we're talking about with psychological abuse or abuse, emotional abuse. And it's not a little thing. It's a big deal. And I can understand the argument that was being made before about, well, look at these girls. They went on. They can go on to great careers at college, and college is very expensive. And that is very true. And that's another issue in terms of the pressure that's put on young people nowadays about getting into college and how much it costs.
Yes.
But I work with kids that have been in youth programs and have had problems with coaches or whether they be at schools or in clubs, and also with parents that, I would agree, enable that kind of behavior. And the argument that I will get from parents And it's an argument that's frequently given to me is, well, you know, today kids are so permissive and kids are soft. And, you know, back in the old days, my parents batted me around and I turned out okay. And look at me. well, yeah, that can't be the case. But what we do know from every major study that's been done for the last 40 years, that there is a correlation between abuse and psychological trauma and people that live after the abuse is over with higher rates of depression, higher rates of anxiety disorder, eating disorders, relational problems. And then those people call me up when they're in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, whether they have successful financial careers or professional careers, and they go back to these abusive situations. Many of them will talk about situations right. in youth hockey, youth football, youth baseball, with coaches that were, as described in Holler's article, emotionally abusive, verbally abusive. So I don't think people get that this isn't just about what happens at the time. This right. goes on in people's lives indefinitely until they get some help.
Right. Steve, I think you make a great point, and I'm glad you're a professional. I'm glad you're able to weigh in on this. Is this kind of a form of PTSD that doesn't really manifest itself on any obvious level until maybe it's too late?
Yeah, it can. It absolutely can. Remember, post-traumatic stress disorder, when a psychological injury occurs, we call it acute stress disorder for the first month after whatever happened. And that means that the brain is responding normally and some of the symptoms that we'll see should lessen if it's not too severe. Post-traumatic stress disorder, it means when it just keeps going on and on, it gets worse.
Right.
Okay? And depending on the level of the abuse, and some of the, what was described in this article absolutely could be some of that. And we don't know because we don't know each one of these individual girls reacted or responded in any given situation. They could be dealing with these situations indefinitely for many, many years. And, you know, I'm not saying, of course, these people still could be successful financially and go on in their life, but then now they have to deal with this this issue that is going to plague them for a long time. And it's a shame that parents don't understand that because, as you said before, the main thing about delivering, therapists especially, we believe in structure and discipline and limit setting. It's how you deliver it.
Sure.
It's how you tell your children and teach them and be an example for your children.
Is there one issue that seems to be more dominant than others with regarding people that you deal with?
I would say today, especially for young people,
yep.
I'm talking about especially the teenage years, which are very difficult, as we know, just to begin with, you know, when dealing with teenagers. And there's reasons for that, obviously, in terms of hormonal hormonal issues. But now we also know brain development, which now we thought ended at 17, 18 for many, many years in adolescence. We now know extends to 26 years old. And brain development, we think they're little adults at 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, and they're really not. It's going to take a few more years to get there. But I would say anxiety disorders are going through the roof.
Mm.
The stress with the social media, with the pressure of picking the right college, the sense of college for families,
yes.
is laying it on the back of our young people.
Right, and this is really at the bottom of this, Steve, and you say it very well, and I saw it, I witnessed it as a teacher. And kids, adolescents are being evaluated every single day of their lives by their peers, their parents, now their coaches, their teachers. It is a very stressful world in which they live in. And I don't care if they think they're up to this kind of abuse, be it psychological or downright bullying, but it has to, you're absolutely right, it has to have repercussions down the line. I really appreciate the input, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That was a sports psychologist down in New Haven. And there has to be a better way, Larry. This guy lays it all out. Think about this. PTSD, depression, anxiety, eating disorders. And they may be successful in college. They may get straight A's. They may score a whole bunch of goals. They may get a big job on Wall Street, but it doesn't mean you're successful as a person and that you don't internalize some of these issues.
And I'm sure later in their life, they probably questioned why their parents put them in such programs.
Absolutely. 617-779-7937. More of your calls continue. We'll talk to Steve Buckley down in Florida. We'll get the lowdown on what Rob Manfred had to say about maybe hinting around about what the punishment for the Red Sox will be. So much more. Stay with us. Final hour of Mustard and Johnson right around the bend on Sports Radio WEEI.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked. High hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.